You're listening to Very Thin Ice from Steak and the Soup Productions. I'm Evan Rosenberg.
I'm Justin Eisenstadt.
And now, here's the show.
So today's been one of those days where I did not put on socks for the entire day, and it feels really good.
Feels really good to not wear socks, or feels really good to finally have them on?
Well, my feet were getting a little cold. I was getting cold feet once I found out we were doing an episode today. But up until then, my feet were, you know, really free, really liberated.
I can understand. It's been a little while since we've recorded. Almost a month. Would have been sooner, but, you know, computer errors and such. Threatened to destroy the entire universe. Luckily, I kept it down to just my laptop and saved my laptop.
Well, that's good. Well, you know what they say, like pimping, editing ain't easy.
No. Editing ain't easy. You do get to wear cool hats, though.
Yeah. It's one of the perks. One of the perks of the job.
Right. So let's kick things off with the answers to last week's tenuous grasp topic.
So, to remind you all, the question...
Right. The main question, the important question, the question that we got answers to was, if you were a dwarf, what would your quest be?
Yeah, there was also my question, which no one bothered to answer, not even us.
Right.
Which was, what can we do to promote dwarven self-conscious among young dwarves? We both decided that was a pointless waste of time.
We did get one answer, but it involved buying them a hooker.
Yeah.
But yeah, so let's get into the answers we got. Well, Asia said that if she were a dwarf, her quest would be to fuck the Queen of France.
Let's see. Lena said that if she were a dwarf, she would be shot out of a cannon, right, strapped to a rocket.
Yes. And Max said that if he were a fancy dwarf, his quest would be to make a lot of money, get drunk, and meet women.
Well, you know, good ideas all around.
Yes. And of course, our answers now. Personally, if I were a dwarf, my quest would be stilts.
Your quest would be stilts?
Yes.
I need no further explanation than that. My quest would be, of course, to kill Justin Bieber, because I think right now that's what every living creature should be devoted to.
Yeah.
Whether you're a dwarf or not.
I think that'll take care of itself within the next 100 years.
Within 100 years, we cannot wait that long. It's like global warming. It is already upon us.
Yes. Then why is it so cold on your feet?
Because...
Where's your Al Gore now?
Shit, I wasn't prepared for that.
No.
None of us were.
None of us.
Just like none of us are prepared for the Bieber apocalypse.
Or global warming.
They're basically one and the same.
Yes.
They are signs of the end times, which apparently are coming this May.
To a theater near you.
I was gonna say that.
I've got a better voice for it.
True.
Coming soon to a theater near you.
So, what are we gonna do to prepare for the impending apocalypse?
Well, that's a great question. That's going to be the tenuous grasp topic for the next episode. So, feel free to get in touch with us. You can email us at vtipodcast, I think is our email address. I hope it is, because I've said it, vtipodcast@gmail.com. You can post on our Facebook page. You can get in touch with us through alternate routes. Yeah, tell us, what are we doing to prepare for the end times? Not you, but what should we be doing to prepare for the end times?
Well, the rest of you have no chance, but Evan and I at least have a chance of survival.
Right. I belong to a religion that believes that only celebrities go to heaven, and only famous celebrities. You have to be famous enough to be saved.
And I belong to a really exclusive country club.
Right. So, that's your tenuous grasp topic. Feel free to answer it or don't.
I think we'll repeat the question right at the end of the episode, because normally that's when we come up with the question, but I think that question is so good, that's got to be it.
Yes. So, moving along, let's get into it. So, how has your week been?
Well, I've been taking this winter class. It's American Studies 100. I'm an American Studies major, and I'm in 400 level classes, about to graduate, so you may be asking why I'm in a 100 level class.
I was.
Well, I'm not going to answer that, but I will explain that it's really lame, and of course none of the other people in the class are majors. So the reason I wanted to bring this up is because there's something I've learned about myself from being in this class. And that is that I am apparently really liberal in my political beliefs. See, here's the thing. I'm not a political person. I don't talk about politics. I don't really care. I don't put a lot of thought into it.
Now, just for comparison, I'm a very political person. I actually went through Favestar, which is a website that shows you what Twitter tweets other people have favorited of yours.
What Twitter tweets?
Twitter tweets. And apparently, the only Twitter tweets I have that are worth favoriting, according to other people, are incredibly political.
I mean, I could have told you that. I've never even been on your Twitter, but I could probably guess what's on it.
It's mostly talking about movies I saw or what I ate. Like any Twitter.
Like any good Twitterer. So the thing is, because I tend to only hang out with people who basically have similar beliefs, I guess, I don't really notice it, you know.
Sure.
Because if you're in a group of people who are all one thing, then you don't notice that thing. It's the other things that stand out that you notice. But being in this class, I'm noticing that there's a lot of conservatives in this class. And the other thing is that most people who are American Studies majors tend to be pretty liberal. That I've noticed, too. So it's like having debates with people who agree with you on things isn't that interesting. And I've noticed, and I really don't mean to offend people out there who are conservatives, because I'm not saying that there are not, that conservative people are not intelligent, rational people. But at least for the people in this class, the difference that I've noticed between conservatives and liberals is that conservatives' opinions sound dumb. Whether they are dumb or not, it's the way they express said opinions sound dumb to me. Now, I know that was very articulate, but let me explain.
Them sound dumb.
We're talking about gay marriage, obviously a pretty hot-button issue, especially for conservatives. And I lay out what I feel are very rational, logical reasons why there should not be an issue with it. We're not going to get into this debate, because that's not what we're about. But the other people in the class were like, I concede, those are good points, but I'm just personally against it. Now, when you say that you're against something but don't give any reasons as to why, that sounds dumb to me. Because if you concede that I've made better points on you than in every case, that I am, in your own words, that I'm right, that everything I said makes sense, and then still say, yeah, but I'm still against it, just for personal reasons.
Justin, I think the problem is that you're doing this in the middle of a discussion about the Muppets. That no one's talking about gay anything, let alone gay marriage, and you just stand up and declare, hey guys, we should all have gay marriage, right? And wait for people to disagree and then berate them for being wrong.
Well, that's how I tend to stand out. I mean, there's no better way to sound smart, I think, than bring up things that have no relevance to the conversation that you're talking about.
Right. Now, if you'd waited until, you know, people speculated about whether or not Statler and Waldorf would prefer to be gay married or not, then it may have been relevant.
I think that's something we should discuss right now. Statler and Waldorf are, of course, the old guy Muppets who are constantly heckling Fonzie and other Muppets.
Yes, Fonzie, the Muppet.
Fozzie, the Muppet.
Fozzie Bear.
Not Fonzie Bear.
I'm going to edit this back to Fonzie.
Well, whatever.
Fonzie, you know, Potsy, all the other Muppets.
Clearly, I don't know that much about the Muppets, and that's why I had to bring up gay marriage so I could talk about something that I was knowledgeable about.
Exactly.
I mean, why shouldn't Muppets be allowed to marry other Muppets?
I see no reason, although I'll put it this way. Everybody sounds dumb when discussing politics. Because if you really want to get into the meat of it, yeah, I'm an incredibly liberal person, but if you want to declare, yeah, gay people should get married, well, that in and of itself, with no qualifiers, doesn't necessarily make sense. Should anybody get married? Does marriage, as it currently exists, really benefit our society? That's where the issue lies, is that conservative or liberal, you really have to look at, you know, the meat of a thing. You can't just say, well, this would be better, because maybe something entirely different from both sides would be better.
Well, my issues with so many of the conservative opinions about marriage is that all of the basis for their arguments are based in religion, and marriage is a legal, economic, in some cases political institution. It's not just a religious institution, otherwise we'd be like, you know, Israel, where everyone has to get married in an Orthodox setting, or else they like leave the country to go get married somewhere else. In this country,
meanwhile, Israel actually has basically gay marriage. I think they call it something different, but you can have it done.
Right, but in correct me if I'm wrong. In Israel, the Orthodoxy does control marriage laws, or at least they
sort of. The Orthodoxy controls religious law. I mean, Israeli politics is a whole other bag of worms.
Well,
not even a can of worms, much bigger. But basically,
a burlap sack of worms.
All marriages in Israel performed in Israel have to be performed by a religious authority.
Okay,
if you're not Jewish, then you go to your imam, your priest, you know, your lama, you know, your camel, whoever.
Right. So my point is, the issue with saying, using...
Right, just to clarify, I know I'm cutting Justin off here, I just want to be clear. That wasn't a racist joke. I said camel as a joke based on llama.
Right. No, thank you for pointing that out. I'm sure there were a lot of really, you know, pissed off Bedouins listening right now.
I know that we have at least one Muslim listener. He's a good guy. I don't want him to think I'm defaming him.
No, of course not. So, the point I'm trying to make is...
Hi, Hamza.
Well, now that you've called him out. Yes. Hi, Hamza.
Well, he'd want his name said.
Well. So when you use religion as the basis for deciding about marriage in this country, that's, to me, a clear violation of separation of church and state. I mean, so blatant as that it shouldn't even be, you know, warranting discussion. Because one of the things that a lot of people say is, like, let them, you know, have a civil union or whatever it is, just don't call it marriage. But does that mean that, you know, atheists, like a man and woman who just don't have to be religious, can't get married, or a man and woman who get married in the court, you still can't call it marriage because it's not religion? Like,
honestly, what I'm in favor of and would never go over is don't call any of it marriage. Let marriage be a religious thing, and then, you know, just call everybody a civil union. That's fine by me. If the words matter, get rid of the words.
The words don't matter. What matters are the rights.
They matter to some people, and so that's fine. If we want to play semantics, let's throw out the words. What I think is silly, and then we'll get off of this because we don't want to turn this into a political show, especially not this week of all weeks.
Right.
But what, you know, I always think is silly is that right now in America, you can get gay married in a house of worship by any religion willing to perform a gay marriage. There are, you know, religions out there who have no qualms with performing gay marriages, and you can get gay married right now, but the government won't recognize it. That's what seems silly to me.
Right. All, I'm just going to end on this point. All... The reason it is important, and the reason it doesn't matter whether we call it marriage or union or not, what is important is that being married, being in the recognized state of marriage, has specific financial and, you know, social benefits that just being in a, you know, quote, civil union or whatever other sort of partnership isn't. There are tax benefits, there are, you know, employment benefits, there are specific benefits
that like I said, all of the codes, all the laws can be changed with different words. The words aren't what's important, it's equality that's important. It's equal treatment that's important.
Right. So yeah, I mean that was a long and boring discussion about something political.
About Muppets.
About Muppets. That's really what I've been trying to say.
What it comes down to are Muppets.
Well, that's life, you know.
That's life. What you gonna do? You know, Muppets.
Yeah. So that's my week, being in that class and being surrounded by
Muppets.
They basically might as well be, for all the sense that they make.
How do you know they're not Muppets? You try sticking your hand up their asses?
No.
Okay, because if you said yes, that could be another part of the problem. That would also start an argument.
Right. I just want people to get along. and not, you know, not be dumb to each other. Just
be awesome to each other and party on.
Yeah. Be excellent to one another.
Yeah, that too. All
right, well, what about you?
I, you know, most of this week I've just kind of been working, but past weekend was pretty exciting for me. Last Saturday night, I went to the 10th anniversary Max Levine Ensemble concert. Max Levine Ensemble is a pump up or something, but they are a pop punk band from the DC area, a band that I happen to go to high school with.
That's cool.
So, you know, some of them, you know, for instance, the frontman, Spoonboy David Combs, I've known since first grade. There are pictures of us as little children, I think, dressed up as magicians.
Is Spoonboy the son of Spoon Man?
No.
No relation?
No relation.
Okay.
But yeah, you know, all of them I've known since at least, you know, like ninth grade. You know, the original band members, at least. You know, the roster's changed a bit over the years. At one point, it included my math teacher, Mr. Himmelsbach, who was at the concert. That was fun to run into him.
Huh.
Other thing about the band, though, is that they did at one point write a song about me.
You've showed it to me.
Yeah, the song is entitled Evan Rosenberg. You can download it at tmle.terrorware.com. That's tmle.terrorware.com. The full discography of many of their early albums is up on there, as well as information about show dates, where to order, you know, physical copies of their CDs and records from. You know, I definitely recommend checking them out.
Now, if I remember correctly, the song Evan Rosenberg is about how you, in their words, do not know shit about punk rock.
Well, I can give the full story on the song here. The full story to my understanding. You know, at least this is what I recall David telling me. Part of the song is based on me bugging him to write a song about me. The other part is based on the fact that I discovered the Ramones about a week before Joey Ramone died. I had actually just purchased a issue, if I want to say it was Spin, with you know, his face on the cover, right before he died. And like any 15-year-old for whom the front man of his brand new favorite band died, I reacted as though I, you know, was, you know, the biggest fan ever and mourning their loss, etc. Yeah, it's completely, you know, predictable, understandable, etc. But to anybody who was actually a fan of the band, I'm sure it was fucking annoying.
Oh yeah, you come in here with your, you know, your sentiments that to them were not earned. You didn't earn the right to feel that strongly about it.
And nobody should have felt as strongly as I was pretending to feel. Let's be fair here. I was being a dick.
Well, getting way too emotional about things is kind of the hallmark of being a teen, so...
True. No, it's all understandable. I was 15 years old, but I was being a dick. So anyway, the song was written. You know, the lyrics... You know, the refrain is, Evan Rosenberg, you don't know shit about punk rock. There's sort of a breakdown where they cover Sheena is a punk rocker, but change the lyrics to Evan's not a punk rocker.
Right, right.
It's a good song. It's up on the website I gave earlier, tmle.terrorware.com. I recommend checking it out and their other music and buying some CDs or vinyl records.
Yeah, no, I'll just say as a more impartial party to this, as someone who is not Evan Rosenberg and therefore is not actually the subject of the song, I would still say it's a good song and that you should listen to it. I really enjoyed it.
Yes, but say a very surreal part of my evening came watching a bunch of teenagers who, you know, I mean, I'm talking like, you know, 18, 19-year-old kids. Some older people, but they were definitely kids there. People born, you know, in the 90s. Moshing to a song with my name in it. That was surreal.
I can imagine. That's, are you just, you know, looking down on them or
no,
you were standing?
I was standing sort of the side corner of the pit. I wanted to be up near the stage, but not close enough that people would be knocking into me.
I'm guessing you're not a mosher.
No. I actually, back in the day at the old DC ska shows, Ratchet Boy Dan Hess, who's no longer with us, unfortunately. He was a good guy, passed a few years back. He used to actually send me into mosh pits to break them up at the corner kick because the venue was actually too small to you know, sustain people moshing, something would have broken.
Right.
So he used to tap me on the shoulder and send me to go get in there and break it up.
I imagine all you'd need to do is just sort of stand there in the middle, and that would just sort of...
Exactly.
It, you know, it's like a windbreak.
Exactly. But, it, you know, speaking of Dan Hess, it was a lot of fun seeing some people from the old days at the Max Levine Ensemble show. I saw Bobby Bobson, who I believe listens to the show as well. Actually, it was the first unsolicited comment I've ever gotten on Very Thin Ice, which was much appreciated.
Well, that's exciting. What do you say?
He said he likes it.
All right. Well, thank you, Bobby Bobson.
Yes, saw a lot of other people, you know, who I hadn't seen in years. It was kind of like a 9-year high school reunion. And, you know, I mean, of course, the music was great. You know, one of the things that the band did recently was re-record some of their early songs, some of the stuff off their first couple of albums, and put it out on CD and on vinyl. So I picked up a copy of the LP there. And that's why I was trying to stay away from the stage. I didn't want anybody, you know, smashing up my record just after I bought it.
Oh, yeah. Although that would be a pretty punk rock thing to do.
Yeah, but then I'd have to buy another one.
Yeah. But so, I mean, what's it like being at a show for a, you know, band that you knew in high school and seeing all these, I would presume, a lot of strangers now? If they've been around that long, they've had to have garnered a much larger following, and seeing these guys and be like, you know, I knew about these guys.
Well, I wasn't going to mention this, but I'll put it out there. You know, David came up to me before the show and mentioned to me that I was the most requested attendee out of everybody that people wanted to know, you know, hey, is so-and-so going to be there? Everybody apparently wanted to know if I would be there at the show.
Well, you have a song written about you.
Yes, I do. But, you know, I'm also a larger-than-life personality. Actually, at the CD release of their very first CDR album, which was called, I believe, The Max Levine Ensemble, Songs That Make You Want to Run Outside, Grab a Donut from a Cop, and Yell Chach Rules.
That's a pretty good name for an album.
Yes. Well, the follow-up album was The Max Levine Ensemble Goes to Jail for Stealing a Donut from a Cop. And the compilation of the two that was later released with all the songs from both was called Chach Cops and Donuts, or something similar to that. Anyway.
So there's a whole mythology of cops, chach, and donuts here going on.
Sort of.
They're telling a story.
It is a story through album title, which is the best kind of story. But getting back to what I was getting at...
Like Coheed and Cambria, except they don't suck.
Yeah. Yes, something like that. Anyway, what I was getting at is I actually signed more copies of that CDR album than any of the actual members of the band at that very first release night.
That's pretty great.
Yes. Well, I'm not proud of the fact that I was apparently going out to people and being like, hey, you want me to sign your album?
Did you keep a signed copy for yourself? Because I'm sure that will be worth something someday. I forget
whether or not I signed my own copy. I do have a copy, of course.
I really hope you did.
I have a copy of each of their CDs and a few of their LPs as well. LPs and EPs. I don't know. You're a vinyl records guy. When I say LP, does that mean I'm talking about a vinyl record, or what does that mean?
Yeah.
It's a long play. I know that.
Yeah. It would mean a vinyl LP, because generally other people just talk about buying the CD
or the single or the cussingle.
Yeah, in some rare cases.
I only have a few cussingles, I think.
But LP specifically refers to, if you're gonna get technical about it, LP specifically refers to a 33 1/3 RPM long playing record.
See, here's a question. You know, what about when I'm talking about the extended play, the 45s? Should I say I've got an EP, or should I say I've got a 10-inch? Or 7-inch?
That's a little different, because nowadays the industry uses the term EP to just refer to short collections of songs that will eventually be on, you know, an entire album.
Like a maxi single.
Right. Or just anything that, you know. So that, in that case, I would say, say a 45, and people know exactly what you're talking about.
Okay, in that case, I've got a couple of their 45s as well.
Okay.
But yeah, the show was great. You know, I feel like a dick because I didn't really pay attention to bands before them, but they were good. I remember noticing them in the background and thinking, you know, hey, these guys are good. Max Levine Ensemble put on an amazing show. I think David was passing out by the end of it. You know, the other members of the band, you know, Ben, a drummer whose name I am blanking on. I want to say it's Nick. and I feel like a jerk for blanking on his name. You know, they were good, as well as a couple of the old members, guys I knew from way back when, Alex, who I went to high school with, and Adam, a.k.a. Kid Georgius. Kid Gorgeous, who actually did not go to high school with us, but I knew from my days at theater camp years and years ago. He's now a special ed teacher, actually. Good guy. I hadn't seen him in years. And, you know, it's good to see all these people, other people who were attendees of shows that I used to know. You know, it just a lot of people I hadn't seen in a while. You know, it was great seeing everybody.
And you went to theater camp.
Yes, I went to Roundhouse Theater Camp.
Okay.
But we can get back to that later, but I want to move on to my Sunday. That was Saturday night.
Okay, well, I also went to a concert, but I'll let you tell about your Sunday first.
Yes. Sunday, as some of you may know, was the national, or I think it's international at this point, No Pants Subway Ride.
That just sounds like a lot of people's everyday.
Well,
but go ahead.
I haven't been on the Baltimore subway before, so I don't know how things roll there. On the D.C. Metro, generally, we wear pants. I believe that's their slogan. You know, D.C. Metro, generally, we wear pants. It's up on the WMATA website.
Well, it's an award-winning slogan. Ad campaign. You know, pictures of happy people wearing pants.
Mostly.
On the Metro. Mostly wearing pants.
Yes. But yeah, so this is my second year participating in that. It was started by Improv Everywhere 9 years ago, I want to say. So, again, you know, nine-year high school reunion, nine-year anniversary of the international No Pants Subway Ride.
What did you wear in lieu of pants?
Nothing. I mean, I wore underwear. I always wear underwear.
Good, good.
But, yeah, so you just kind of, a lot of people not wearing pants in the subway. Everybody is stopping you and going, hey, why ain't you wearing no pants?
And to that, you respond?
Personally, I just told everybody I forgot them.
Okay.
My favorite, though, was one woman who, you know, said, oh, you're real brave to be doing this by yourself. And I gave her my, I don't know what you're talking about. I just forgot my pants. And she goes, oh, no, I'm from New York. I know about these things.
Okay.
So I enjoy that people from New York know about these things.
I mean, she was wearing pants, though. Right?
She was wearing pants, yes. I will grant you, most people tend to go in groups. You know, people are nervous about these things. I've been part of Capital Improv, which is our Improv Everywhere-inspired group down in D.C. I've been part of that for a few years now, you know, participating in missions. Last year, I actually, you know, helped with some of the leading of the No Pants Subway Ride. We staggered our groups last year, and I was a group leader, kind of taking people out, you know, to make sure they were comfortable before kind of breaking off on their own. And, you know, this year I actually ran into some traffic, and so I was too late to help out. But, you know, I've been a part of the Capital Improv group for a while. It used to be called DC Defenestrators.
So, okay, so the way this works, do you show up at the Metro station already without pants, or do you take your pants off before you get on the Metro?
We all take our pants off on the Metro at the same time.
Okay, so you start out with pants.
Right, you start out with pants. We all load up onto trains together, remove our pants, you know, together as soon as it leaves the platform, so that by the time we reach the next platform, it's a train full of people not wearing pants.
Well, what'd you do with your pants? Because you were telling people that you
forgot
them.
I had a backpack.
Ah, you put them in your backpack.
Yes. I saw one guy stuff them into his jacket pocket. I don't want to give away too many secrets here, though.
Right, well, I think in the case
tricks
of
the trade.
In the case of that woman from New York, I think people from New York just can't stand not being in the know about things, so she had to lie and say that she was.
Yes, or they can't stand not having you know that they're in the know.
Right. Well, that sounds like a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun, and afterwards I went drinking with Max.
Always a good time. I just, it really seems like that whole no pants situation could end poorly for some people.
Well, part of the,
like the ladies,
rules, but... Well, the ladies participate.
Okay.
I did see,
there's
you
a
know,
lot of unsavory elements on the Metro.
I did
even
see
the DC
one or
Metro.
Two ladies getting hit on by guys, you know, who at first, like, freaked out and were, like, disgusted by the fact they weren't wearing pants, and then proceeded to hit on them. I'm not sure that they wouldn't have been hitting on them if they were wearing pants. Let's be honest. The objectification of women in this society is kind of disgusting, whether or not they're wearing pants.
Sure, sure, I'll give you that. Pants or no pants.
Yes, and I think, you know what, if a lady wants to participate, that's more empowering to go ahead and do it rather than be afraid of some guy might hit on her a little bit more.
Now, what would happen if you were riding the Metro on No Pants Sunday and just happened to also be shirtless o'clock? If shirtless o'clock rolled around on No Pants Sunday.
It'd be pretty cold, because it's always in January.
Oh, it's also generally colder on the Metro.
Yes. Well, I did spend about 15 minutes waiting for the Red Line at Fort Totten without pants on. Anybody who is familiar with the DC Metro system knows what I'm getting at there. And also, anybody from New York apparently is in the know as to what I'm getting
at. Well, of course they are.
Yes.
You know, I could have told you that.
For those who aren't familiar, I'm not from New York, so I'll explain it. The Red Line at Fort Totten is above ground. And this past Sunday, a week ago, was very cold out.
Now, another extremely important question. When you're sitting around without pants, did you put your shoes back on?
Yes. I actually wore slip-on, slip-off shoes without ties.
Good, good. All right. Glad to see you came prepared.
Oh, I came to play.
Well, I would expect nothing less.
Yes.
But just, you don't want to be sitting on those Metros without shoes on.
Exactly. Without pants, sure, but without shoes, no.
Well, next thing you know, you're sleeping on one of those benches with, you know, newspapers for a blanket.
Right. Next thing I know. Next.
Well, actually, that's going to be the new holiday that I'm making, which is just Live Like a Hobo Day.
Okay.
It's pretty self-explanatory. We're just going to, you know, meet somewhere at a park and proceed to live like hobos. Under bridges, train yards, public libraries, wherever, you know.
Now, will your fake hobo factions be fighting each other? Are the library hobos going to fight the train yard hobos?
I wasn't envisioning it as a competitive thing.
Possibly in a large game of Capture the Flag?
Capture the Hawk of Ham.
Capture the Ham Hawk?
I wasn't envisioning it as a competitive thing, but I actually think it would be a lot of fun. To have organized competitions, and maybe prizes for the winners.
Like a ham hawk.
Yeah, like a ham hawk.
A hawk of ham.
Or the opportunity to, you know, go home.
Right. I mean, basically you are enslaving people.
Well,
is what this comes down to.
It's more of a mental prison.
Right.
I think that's what I'm trying to point out. This is a public service to show that being homeless is just a mental cage. It's...
Right. By encaging you.
Well, yeah, I mean...
You, the listening audience.
Right. Think of it metaphorically. Think of metaphorically as me coming to your house, tranquilizing you in the middle of the night, putting you in a box, and then you waking up in the middle of a children's playground.
Basically, what we're saying...
Inside of a portable dog kennel.
What we're saying is that we can't afford the tranquilizers, the cages, the dog kennels... If you could please just line up in the children's playground so that we can enslave you, we would appreciate it.
And then rub a lot of dirt on yourself and proceed. Oh, get you know your favorite wine or spirit in a brown paper bag.
Yes. No bottle. Just pour it into the bag. Let it drip out. Strain it through the bag.
Well, I wouldn't recommend that, but, you know, do what you got to do. If you can't even afford bottles, then, well, I guess you're one step ahead of the rest of us. And then basically just hang out at the children's playground and convince everyone that you are actually the reincarnation of Aristotle or some other Greek philosopher.
Exactly. And to be clear here, we're not just saying tell them. We're saying convince them.
Right.
Be persuasive.
You should be well-versed in Greek philosophy if you're going to attempt this.
But what we're getting at here is that philosophy majors are basically homeless because they have no workable job skills.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's basically a philosophy major convention.
Right.
And it's going to be sponsored. We're going to get sponsors.
Right. Famous sponsors.
Right. Well, who do you have lined up?
Well, I have lined up Bic, makers of fine pens and razors. Who do you have lined up?
Hanes Beefy Tees. We're actually going to get Michael Jordan to come out.
I, I don't know how I feel about his mustache.
Well, actually, that's why he's agreed to do it, because he needs to regain public support.
For his mustache? I don't think he's going to find it from me.
Well, for him. This is penance for the mustache.
Has he shaved it?
I don't think so.
Last time I saw that same Haynes ad airing, that's the same ad that's been airing, he did not yet not have the mustache. I would think that when he shaves it off, they'll edit the commercial to remove the mustache.
Like, digitally remove it, I guess. Except, actually, I haven't seen this commercial. So he's still getting these commercial spots, even with the mustache?
Yes.
So apparently, public perception has not been altered really at all.
No.
Huh.
I tweeted something about being uncomfortable with the mustache, and the mustache tweeted back at me.
The mustache tweet. The mustache has its own Twitter feed now?
Twitter is a scary place.
Jeez. I mean, I've seen
when
this...
you tweet into the mustache tweets back to you.
I've just seen the mustache plastered all over the internet. I didn't know there was actually a new commercial out with him featuring the mustache.
Yes. It's a commercial for the mustache, to be honest.
Well, all right.
It's Haynes as the spokesperson for Michael Jordan's mustache.
Well, I've got three options now. I can just have Michael Jordan anyways with the mustache.
Right.
It's not a great, situation. I could have Charlie Sheen, which is an even worse situation, because yes. Charlie Sheen is definitely not someone you want at a children's playground.
Well, I think we're going to have to go with the third option, then, of Charlie Sheen with a Hitler mustache.
Yeah. Well, honestly, he's the only person that it might actually improve his public standing right now.
Yeah. I mean, if we're going to go Charlie Sheen, we got to go full Hitler.
Well, I think, basically, if you give him a Hitler mustache, what people will think is that this is all actually a ploy. The whole locking a stripper in a bathroom.
They're going to think he's Joaquin Phoenix soon.
That is exactly what I was going for. This is all just another fake documentary trying
by
to capture.
By Casey Affleck.
Right. Well, it's not going to be Casey Affleck. It's going to be Donnie Wahlberg.
Okay.
Someone needs to tell them though that Joaquin Phoenix's that I'm Still Here actually did terribly and that everyone hated it. So this isn't something they should be trying to emulate it. I kind of want to see it too, but I've heard it's so bad that it's not even like.
I'll Netflix it.
It's not even worth watching. But
I have time. I've been watching Time Bandits.
Well, I just saw that it was on Netflix.
Yes, I watched the first half of it. It was interesting. It, clearly some of Terry Gilliam's earlier work, not that it's bad, but you can tell that, he got more experience in some of the later stuff.
Oh, you're talking about Time Bandits. I thought you were saying you watched the first half of I'm Still Here.
No, I saw the first half of Time Bandits.
Okay, because I was going to ask you if it truly did connote his artism.
Oh, yes, it totally connotes Terry Gilliam's artism.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. I haven't seen that one, but I'm a huge fan of Terry Gilliam. So I did see that I actually saw both of them on Netflix.
Yes.
I didn't
see that I'm Still Here was on Netflix.
It is.
That's what I'll have to watch later.
I think it's actually streaming for free on Netflix. That's how bad it's doing. That they want people to watch it for free.
You don't even have to be a member.
Right, no, you don't. It's streaming for free.
I didn't know that they had anything streamed for free with that membership.
I think just this movie.
Well, I think now is the time when we come to the part of our show where we plug things that we're not related to.
Right.
And so the first one is Netflix.
Yeah. Everyone, Netflix is awesome. I don't think there's a way that you don't already know this, but it's totally awesome.
If you don't, Netflix is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Look for it on your internet.
Yeah.
It's movies, and you can watch them.
It's on everything now. It's on your Xbox, it's on your PS3.
It's on
even
your toothbrush.
It's going to be on your toothbrush pretty soon.
It's on your mirror when you're watching Netflix on the TV on the other side of the room.
Well, it's on your mirror when you're brushing your teeth, because it's on the toothbrush.
Yes.
Point is, Netflix, you can get it.
Here's another plug for ourvaluedcustomers.blogspot.com. There's a website I discovered today, and it's actually pretty neat. It's some dude who works in a comic book shop drawing pictures of people who say stupid things to him every day. So that's Our Valued Customers, OurValuedCustomers.blogspot.com. Check it out. It's pretty neat.
I love when you spell things.
I love spelling things. What about you, Justin? Anything else to plug?
That's a good question. Actually, no.
Okay.
But I did want to... Well, it's sort of a plug. It's a plug for something that I was actually at.
Oh, is this the concert that you were at?
Yes. Unfortunately, it's already over, so I can only plug it for next year. But the Music and Gaming Fest...
MAGFest?
Indeed. Was this weekend. It was Thursday, and today was the last day. Basically, what MAGFest is a huge convention for gamers who also like music, hence music and gaming, in Alexandria, Virginia, where they have a lot of the biggest names in video game music performing, such as the Proto Men, my personal favorite, and a band that I really want to plug, so this will be my plug.
Okay.
For a band called This Place Is Haunted. Now, unlike a lot of the other bands who are performing at MAGFest, This Place Is Haunted are not strictly a video game music band. They play a lot of video game music. And if you're not familiar with the genre of video game music, it's pretty simple. It's bands that either do covers of songs from video games or just use video games as the subject material for original songs. It's not, should not necessarily be confused with, say, you know, chiptune or 8-bit, you know, versions of songs. These are actually, like, you know, rock bands of varying genres. A lot of them are metal, but a lot of them, like This Place Is Haunted, are a lot more eclectic. And in addition to doing covers of video game songs, they also do covers of movie themes, TV show themes. They did a TV show medley that consisted of covers of Full House, DuckTales, Inspector Gadget, Mr. Belvedere, just a whole lot of crap.
Did they do Sanford and Son?
They didn't do Son. They limited it to 80s shows.
Then I am not interested.
Oh, come on. You can't tell me there. DuckTales? You didn't like DuckTales?
How can you not do Sanford and Son? Sanford and Son, singular. Why do I always pluralize it?
I don't know.
It's because it was so awesome.
You're just not that big a fan of it.
It's because Lamont isn't enough to measure up to Sanford. You know, Red Fox was such a presence. There needed to be two Lamonts.
I'm sure they like Sanford and Son. I think it just doesn't fit their theme of 80s TV shows. Maybe they'll do a 70s TV show medley.
I don't want to live in a theme that Sanford and Son doesn't meet.
Sanford and Son, Jeffersons, you know, whatever else, Different Strokes. Actually, I don't know
what 70s show?
I don't know what decade Different Strokes was. But they also did a medley of Disney songs. They did a medley of all the different songs that have been in the Rocky movies, which was awesome, and it was called I Must Break You. So, really awesome band. Check them out. They're called This Place Is Haunted. And they'll be playing at the next MAGFest, I'm sure, and also the BitGen Gamer Fest, which is during the summer. MAGFest is nuts. I wish I had more than just one day to see it. Next year, I'm going to do it right. I'm going to actually stay at the hotel for all 4 days, because there's tons of vendors. There's a whole massive room with tons of game consoles, arcade games. There's tabletop gaming, card games.
Is there under the table gaming?
There's across the table, next to the table.
Water table?
Water table. Table of elements.
El Diablo?
Yeah, you name it.
Under the table gaming. I named it.
Okay, good. There's panels. There's land. There's a room for, you know, LAN.
Talking wood paneling, aluminum siding.
You don't even know the half of it.
Oh, I do not.
So there's secret sliding panels.
Are there secret sex parties?
It's in a hotel, Evan. Do you really believe that there are not secret sex parties going on at this?
I don't know. It's a hotel filled with nerds.
Nerds, which consist of probably a lot of furries, because I saw a lot of fat guys dressed as Pikachu.
God, God, you are not plucking this well.
You know that fat guys dressed as Pikachu are probably into some seriously shady shit.
Yes, they're into dressing as Pikachu.
That aside, you will find something for everyone. You can easily avoid the fat guys dressed as Pikachu because you can see them coming from a mile away. So don't be afraid to go to MAGFest just because there's fat guys dressed as Pikachu. There were guest speakers, there's movies being shown, there's contests, there's challenges, there's random treasure chests.
How many fat guys dressed as Pikachu are we talking about?
Well, I only saw one fat guy dressed as Pikachu, but I saw about five or six fat guys dressed as in various plush costumes.
Okay. These are open furries. They're openly furry.
Yeah, they're not, like, fully decked out, though. They have their faces showing. They're not, like...
So although it's like lazy furries?
Yeah. I don't know if it's the same thing, but I did see one guy with a horse head. I just want you to process that. This is just a guy walking around with a horse's head.
So, in closing, look for Justin at next year's MAGFest and me nowhere near it.
Yeah. It's going to be a blast. Just telling you.
All right. Well, I think that about wraps it up for our show. I've had a good time this week. I hope you have too, listening audience.
I promise that next episode, zero politics anywhere near it.
And I promise zero fat guys dressed as Pikachu.
That's a promise that we can keep.
Yes. All right. Reminding you again of the tenuous grasp topic.
Yes.
That topic is, what should we, as in Verith and Ice, Evan Rosenberg and Justin Eisenstadt, do to prepare for the coming apocalypse? Get back at us by emailing either of us personally, posting on the Facebook page, posting on either of our Facebook pages, yelling it at us when you see us in the hall.
Showing up outside of our windows with a boombox.
Yes, please have your answer playing on the boombox. Don't just use it to get our attention and yell at us up through the window. I mean, that's awkward, you know? Keep it classy.
It's been done.
It's been done. All right, so there's your topic. Have at it.
I'm ready to be out this bitch.
All right. Goodbye forever.